So great to have this opportunity. New place to meet, new excitement. Love this opportunity, this chance we have to get together. Sabbath is always my favorite day of the week. You know, and this time of year, you just never know what you're going to get. You know, one day you wake up and it's 70 degrees, and the next day you wake up and it's 30. So, you know, it's just what we have to deal with. And I bet, I don't know if all of you have heard, the snowstorm is supposed to be here in a couple of days, like 12 inches of snow. You're all ready for that, right? Right? Oh, come on. You have to be ready, right? You've been to Kroger, you've emptied all the milk and bread and eggs out of the cupboards.
That was Michigan.
Oh, that was Michigan. Okay. Yeah, that's how it was in Michigan, for sure. But, you know, I'm sure that if we knew that there was going to be a storm here in a few days, we'd all start preparing. We'd be finding things to get ready for that. We'd be making sure we had enough food and water, and make sure that if we had a generator, it was working. Anything else that might affect us, maybe we'd make sure we had a flashlight and batteries and fresh batteries and candles in case the power went out. I mean, there's just so many things that can happen when you have a major storm like that come through. And you try and prepare. You try and prepare the best way you can. I know a couple weeks ago, Tim and Kirk and Dave Kellers and Andy Wyckoff, the four of them, they went on a trip out in... I guess it would be in the Smoky Mountains, right? Eastern Tennessee. And they were going to hike for 4 days, about 50 miles they were planning on hiking. And they prepped for that for weeks, months. I know Tim said he had been working on getting himself ready, both physically and mentally, and getting the right equipment together, prepping for that big adventure. Because, you know, that's not an easy trek. You're talking middle of winter. Cold, high altitudes, higher than you're used to. I think they said they climbed on Sunday all day up 4,500 feet, and that kind of a trek. And then the next day again, and the next day doing it again. It's not something that I would walk out and do myself. I'm not prepped for that. I'm not prepared for that. I would probably enjoy it just for the camaraderie of being with the other guys, but. I know physically my body's not ready to go do something like that right now. It would be something I would have to prepare a long time to get ready for. I don't have the equipment for it. I don't have the zero weather sleeping bag and 20 below and all the rest of it that they took with them. So those are things you have to do when you're planning something like that. You got to prep for it. You got to be ready for it. I mean, it's just like when we get ready for a feast, isn't it? We take the time, we get everything prepped and ready, we make sure our car's working, we make sure we have our clothes together, we make sure we have everything we need, so when we go to the feast, we're ready to enjoy the feast. We prepare ahead of time. We get all of those things ready so it will go smoothly. Well, brethren, if you haven't figured it out today, we're going to look at things from a more spiritual preparedness. We're going to take a look at things about being prepared. About being prepared as part of God's family, that each of us are functioning daily in our lives, doing all we can as a spiritual prepper. You know, in today's society, we have in this country a strong movement. There are individuals and groups that are called survivalists or preppers. They're doing all of these different things to prepare themselves for disasters, for emergencies, maybe a disruption in our political or our social order. And they're constantly looking for ways to improve, to make it easier, to be prepared if something were to happen. They even have a website that's called prepperswebsite.com. And I'll tell you what, if you want to find out how to do anything, how to prepare for anything physical in this world, go to that website. There are pages and pages of things that they'll tell you and explain to you on how to do anything from growing vegetables to living off the land to anything you want to do. They're thorough. They are looking at any scenario that might happen to them. And we know that on the physical side, whether it's trips or weather or functions, hikes, whatever we look to do, we will always try and do everything we can to prepare for it, to try and prep for that function with the best ideas and the level of preparedness we can. But if we are trying to fulfill our calling, the way of life that leads us to become like God and to be a part of His family, are we spending enough time and energy to be called a spiritual prepper? It's so easy for us to take these things for granted. I know I need to pray, right? I know I need to do that. I know I need to study more, right? I know that. I know I need to fast more. I mean, we all go through these emotions, through these thoughts in our head, as we realize the things we need to do, the things we need to change, the way that we need to change our life, the way we live. God wants and expects from us. What He wants to see is our involvement and our commitment to Him. But there always seems to be something in the way, isn't there? Well, I've got this job to finish. You know, that job, it's going to take me X amount of hours. And, you know, when I get done with it, I'm going to be too tired to stay up and pray or fast or read. Or I've got to go to the gym. I haven't been to the gym in days. I got to go to the gym now. I can't take time to stop and read right now because, you know, I have these other things to do. And we can find so many ways to put off doing the things that we know we should be doing to prepare ourselves, to become the way that God wants us to become. Look, so, you know, there's an example. We're not going to turn there, but there's an example in Exodus. Exodus 16. We all know of the story of the manna. We've talked about it many times. You know, here the Israelites were. They were complaining. And Moses talked to God, and God said, look, I'll take care of it. I'm going to provide for them food. I'm going to give them every day manna to eat. But only take for that day what you need. But of course, that's what they did, right? They only took enough manna for that day. No, they took enough for the next day and the next day, thinking, well, you know, God provided it, it'll be here. But that wasn't the case. As we know, the manna disappeared. The manna would rot and the worms would infest it and it would stink. And the next morning they would have to throw it all out and then go out and gather fresh again. Except on Friday. Because on Friday, God had told them, look, I'm going to provide enough for you to gather for 2 days. And so they did. Now, I'm sure that because of the human nature we all have, there were those that doubted that next morning there was going to be manna left over. I'm sure there were many that thought, you know what, this is going to be rotten in the morning, it's going to smell and stink. Maybe we'll set it to the outside of the tent. You know, we won't put it right here because when we have to throw it out anyway in the morning, we might as well go ahead and prepare and let's just set it aside. But that's not what happened. God made it so perfectly clear to them that manna was to be used for 2 days, that manna would be there for them the next morning. There was no doubt of where it came from, of who was in charge, of what that Sabbath day meant for them. God wanted them to prepare the way He showed them to prepare. To take the manna on Friday for 2 days. They prepared because God wanted them to do it that way. God instructed them, and only on that instruction were they able to gather the manna. If you left the house this morning, can you imagine, just imagine for a minute as you drove here for services, if every restaurant, every grocery store, every means of food were closed. Everything. Because God said yesterday, gather enough for this day also. And would any of you have a doubt at that point as whether or not this was the day that God said this is the Sabbath? Don't do any work? It'd be pretty clear, wouldn't it? If God said, okay, everything's going to be closed. You're not going to find anything. You're not going to find any manna today because it was provided for yesterday. Now, we know that that's not the way it is. We know that we're still living in a world that is controlled by Satan. And we know that because of this, there are things that are going to continue because God has not revealed His plan to all of mankind. So as things go on, we see that things will continue and society will continue as it is. Another example I want to look at this time, let's turn to 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to begin in verse 3. First Samuel 7 and verse 3. And this is something that I think is really important to us, brethren, because if we're going to prepare ourselves, if we're becoming spiritual preppers trying to become the way that God wants us to become, this is where I believe it has to start. 1 Samuel 7, beginning in verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all of the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Now I'm just guessing here, brethren, but I'm guessing that thunder and that noise was something we've never experienced. I don't care how hard that thunder and clap last night or the night before, whenever the last time you heard it, I don't think it was anything compared to what God did to the Philistines here. Going on to verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Brethren, this shows clearly that God was with them. That when Samuel offered up an offering, God heard their cries and he responded to them. But the scripture, the verse that I want us to really focus on here is verse 3. Because in verse 3 it says something that I think is so important that we miss, brethren. We miss the importance of this scripture. In the middle of verse 3, and it says, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. What does that mean for us, brethren? What does that mean that we are to prepare our hearts? If we're to be a spiritual prepper, if we're to be changing and becoming like God, it has to start with our heart. Now, why is that so important? Have you thought about this, brethren? Now, I know this is my take on this, and I hope I'm correct in it. But I want you to think of something. Your heart sits in your body. It beats continually. It provides the blood to sustain you. You don't think about it. You can't control it. You can't change anything about it. I don't care how intelligent you are. There's nothing you can physically do to change its function and how it works inside you. God wants us to have that same concept in how we look at Him. Our commitment to Him is not something we should be able to change or control. It should be as strong and as focused as the way our heart beats in our body. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. I don't want to confuse you on that. I want you to understand that your heart, you cannot control. You shouldn't be able to limit or change your commitment to God either. It should be something that is inside you that continues on when you can't change it, when you can't think about changing it, when you can't do anything different about it. It will continue on because it starts in your heart. God wants us to have that commitment. None of our physical things can happen in our life without our heart. We can't run, we can't work, we can't do anything without having that heart pumping and keeping our life going. God, brethren, is our lifeblood. Without His working in us, our life would cease. We can't think our heart to work. We don't tell our heart to pump or to function. We just take it for granted that it will continue to steadily pump and keep us alive, beating to sustain us. We can take our calling and our purpose before God for granted, and we fail to continue to spiritually prepare for the return of Christ. Let's look at another passage in God's Word that strengthens and reinforces the need for us to begin with our commitment in our heart. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 19. Pick it up here in verse 18. Verse 18, 2 Chronicles 30. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his father. Though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Again, brethren, we must prepare our heart to seek God. A focused, fulfilling purpose that sets us on the right path to be considered a part of God's family. You know, the people of this world, they prepare for a lot of things. They prepare for the zombie apocalypse. You know, they prepare for the craziest things in this world, these ideas that they have, because they don't have the knowledge of God. They don't have the knowledge of God's plan for them. They only have the world and themselves to look at, and they don't understand the direction they need to go. So they prepare for everything and nothing, and they prepare without direction. For us, brethren, it must begin in here, right here in our hearts. It is a commitment to becoming like God that is never ending, that pumps along every minute, every second, that is done without letting our minds get in the way of how it needs to be done. Our conviction to God must be done in the same way, without thought, without our brain getting in the way. It is simply who we are. Who we are in here is what we have to become. A child of God being led by His Holy Spirit. We don't have to think about doing it. It is simply who we are and how we must function. Now that being said, there are things we can do to fulfill our responsibility to do it better. Absolutely, we know there are. We know that there are many things that we can look at right here from God's Word. God has given us this Bible, His Word, from the very beginning of time. And He's written it down for us to read, to freely understand, to learn how we can instruct and teach others in the future. We have to live and grow in that faith and that understanding, teaching and learning to be a part of His family. It won't read itself. I mean, you can carry it around in your briefcase all week. If you never look at it, you're not going to get a thing out of it. We have to do it. Whether it's on your phone, whether you're listening to it on a book, you know, I know some of you do that. You listen to the Bible being read to you and listen to it in earphones. Maybe you listen to it or read it on your iPad or you know, whatever it is. You have to do it. You have to make the effort. It's not going to do it on its own. If you don't pick it up and go through this vast knowledge, this textbook for our lives, it won't ever become a part of you. Prepping for the way of life we are to live requires a sense of urgency and a commitment to fulfilling our responsibility to be learning how to teach others. There's a reason that teachers go to college, to learn a specific subject so they can teach it. I'm sure Mark teaches history. He would not have gone to college to learn basket weaving so he could go teach a history class. Okay? If you want to teach history, you learn about history. If you're going to teach English, you learn and understand English. Whatever it is you're going to teach, you learn about it. How do you learn about God's way of life if you're not reading the textbook? How do you learn to better understand and be able to teach it in the future if you never read the book? It's something we have to do. I'm sorry, I can't take that away from you. It's there. You have to make that choice. We all do. We all have to. The Word of God has been freely given to us from the beginning of man's time on this earth to instruct us, to admonish us, to teach us, to lead us, to help us in all ways how to fulfill our responsibility as a teacher in God's family. But brethren, you can't learn it if you don't read it. What about prayer? Shouldn't that be as important as a part of our spiritual prepping for being a part of God's family? I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't mean to embarrass Mr. Petty, but every time I hear him pray, whether it's for an anointing, whether it's for a meal, whether it's for blessing little children, no matter what it is, I always stand there feeling like I'm standing next to somebody who's talking directly to God. And it's not because of who he is, it's because of how he says it. There is a difference in his, not in his delivery, but in his words. There's this closeness you feel when I hear him talk and pray. And I want so much to have that same thing in me. I want to be able to talk like that to God, that clearly. He's my father too. He's your father. Each of us have that opportunity to reach out and pray to him, to talk to him. Father, help me. Not just asking for things. God, can you help me this week? Can you give me more money? Can you help me sleep better? Can you hear me? Can you do this? Can you do this? And all these things. We can ask for all those things and just things and say, can you do all that? But what about that relationship, that same type of relationship you have with your children, with your mate, with your brother, your sister, your parents? That relationship is what we have to have with God. And we can only get there if we're going to pray about it. If we're going to pray to him and open up ourselves and say, Daddy, help me, teach me, guide me in the way I need to change. Because we all have to. We all have to be willing to change, brethren, if we're ever going to get to the point we have to get to. And it can't be a temporary thing. It can't be, well, I did it this week, I'm good. I'm good for the month. I prayed 3 times this week, so I got it covered. Is that how it works? It should be a daily. I'll tell you what, every day I talk to my wife. Every day we have conversations. Every day I tell her I love her. Are we able to do that? And do we continually do that to God every day? Think about it, brethren. God, I'm sorry. I love you. Please help me. Please teach me. Are we doing those things? Are we prepping ourselves spiritually for what is to come? Are we trying to be humble, faithful servants, praying and talking to our Father to have the relationship that we need to have? Are we able to talk to our Father the way we talk to our parents, the way we talk to our mates? If not, brethren, why not? What can you change in your approach to have that kind of relationship in your prayers? I don't have an answer for you on that. I'm sorry. That's something each of you are going to have to find on your own. But it's something we have to find. We also know that fasting is an important part of our spiritual prepping. It makes us weak in body as we see how frail and physical our human bodies are. Without bread and water, our bodies created from dust of the ground would just simply go back to the dust of the ground. Fasting humbles our minds to see that physically we are nothing without God's help. His creating of us the wonderful foods that we love to eat. And I'll tell you what, when I'm fasting and I see that peach sitting on the counter, and I get a little whiff of it, I can taste the sweetness of that peach in the smell, because your body is craving food so badly. You want that that luscious, juicy peach. You can almost taste it in your mind because you want it. But you know you're fasting and you can't have it. And that makes it even more that you want it. But we go through those times, brethren, where we have to learn how to continue to focus on God instead of ourselves. How we put ourselves out there to change. How we commit to one another that we will change. It's a daily process. We do that through fasting. We fast so we can truly be humble. Not because we want to get something. You don't fast because you want to get something from God. You fast because you want to become like Him. That's the point. To change to become like Him. So if we've been spiritually prepping, brethren, are we spiritually prepping in our lives? Have we been doing the things that we need? Are things turning out the way we expect it? You know, growing up in God's church and seeing so many things over the years, sometimes things haven't turned out the way I expected them. You know, in the 60s and 70s, I was sure that, Christ was going to return. I was never going to be married. I was never going to have kids. And here I am with 6 grandkids. And years have gone by. And things weren't the way I thought they were going to be. But it's still there, brethren. God's plan is still there. We have to be patient and faithful to continue to do our part to make it to that end. No matter when it is. No matter if it's tomorrow, next week, or 20, 30, 50 years from now. Our part starts right now to prep, to prepare, to be ready for that time when Christ will return. Whether we feel a setback or a failure, we have to push on. How do we focus when it feels like we've stumbled? It comes down to following God's example, brethren. We go back and we prepare some more. We don't ever give up or quit. We don't ever think it's getting too hard or too much to overcome. We don't think it's not even going to happen and I'm just going to live out life without any plan. Brethren, we know the plan. We know the focus and we know what's to come. Think about that. That blessing is something you can't even put a number on for its value to you, for what you've been told and what you understand. And we all know, brethren, that God has always had a plan. From the beginning of time, God has had a plan to create His family. A spiritual family He created by doing what? By creating us in His image. That's what He's looking for, a family. To create that family, He created humans in His image. God took the time in His plan to send a messenger before His face to prepare the way for us. Let's turn to Malachi 3. Last scripture, Malachi 3 and verse 1. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Brethren, we have known of this promise since God opened our eyes to his knowledge and the way of life. It is a promise for all of us to remember. It is a promise for all of us that we must continue to prepare for the return of Christ. Don't ever give up, brethren. Don't ever think the test or trial is too big. Keep the way of God before you daily as you prep for his kingdom to come.